If you found this podcast, chances are you're a high achiever and you're successful. But now you're stuck and stressed, and you realize that everything you've created hasn't given you the fulfillment and the joy you thought it would. This is where we discuss the keys of high performance mindset and stepping into the next best version of yourself. Welcome to the Positive Persistence Podcast. Hey, Positive Persistence family, man, do I have an episode for you today. We are joined by the nation's top continual peak performance coach, and he's been voted the top five mindset coach in the world. And if you don't know who I'm talking about yet, we are welcoming Ben Newman to the show. We discuss overcoming doubts and fears and the mindset and habits that you need to do so and for success. So make sure you pay attention because Ben is dropping some knowledge bombs. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to another episode of the Positive Persistence Podcast. Today we are joined by the one and only Ben Newman. Ben, welcome to the show.
Ian, it is awesome to be with you on the show. Thinking back to us meeting in person at Amberlee Lago's event not too long ago and being able to build a great relationship now and now be on the show. I've been looking forward to this. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Pleasure is all mine. And I was actually going to bring that up, that how we met. It was almost a year ago. I think it was April maybe of last year at Amberlee Lago's Unstoppable Summit. And I just remember seeing you there and being with my wife. We were at, I think, the VIP dinner or something before the event. And I was nudging her. I was like, that's Ben Newman. I've been following you on Instagram and, you know, and your podcast. And it's like, I have to go say hi. And I just have to say that I was humbled by your humbleness, how approachable you are. And it just being in the moment and meeting you, like you stopped what you were doing and you made that time. And that just says a lot about your character and the type of person that you are, that you just stop and really focus in on the person that you are engaged with. So that's just want to put that out there and say thank you.
I appreciate that. And it was great to meet you then and great to stay connected. So thank you for those words.
Absolutely. But I want to just dive into this because there's some things, apparently there are a lot of things that I want to ask you about, but I know we're running out of time, so we'll keep them short. But, you know, as a world-renowned performance coach for sports and business leaders, you've been listed as one of the top five mindset performance coaches in the world, and you've coached some of the most successful people on the planet. And of course, I mean, you have more accolades that I could list than we but the question that I have, and I think a lot of our listeners and viewers will want to know, is why do you do what you do?
I really love the opportunity to help somebody oftentimes see what maybe they don't see within themselves and then build the action in order to make what maybe they don't see actually become true in their lives. And, you know, that opportunity for me, it drives me, you know, because I think we live in a world where it's so hard sometimes with the doubts, the fears, the uncertainties, whether it's media, politics. It's hard to believe what you want to believe, or, you know, you're comparing yourself to somebody else. And to really help somebody say, gosh, just clear the noise. Like, what do you believe is possible for you? And then maybe to connect them back to a period of time where they'd actually already showed that they had done those things, and you almost remind them and say, well, what did you do then? And then getting them to do it again and to lean in more, and then for them to step into who they were destined to be. That for me as a coach, and I know you being a coach as well, it's such an incredible opportunity to help people take action in terms of what they actually believe they can achieve and what's inside of them.
Yeah, that is that for sure is a special opportunity to have, and a special rapport you can build with people, and being able to pull that, what you talk about, out of somebody and help them realize their greatness. That is a wonderful feeling. And I just wonder, did you have somebody or maybe some buddies
in your life that helped do the same thing for you?
Oh, without, I've had so many. I can think back to my grandparents. After my mother passed away, my mom passed away 11 days before my 8th birthday, and she's my fuel and my burn and my fire. She was divorced when I was 6 months old and never knew my parents together. And so there were so many individuals that did step into my life. My grandparents, my two high school basketball coaches. I was just texting one of my high school basketball coaches just this morning. I mean, we have this amazing relationship. I played for the guy 30 years ago, and he's still one of my great mentors. To the mentors I've been blessed to still have in my life today, the coaches that I still have in my life today, I think it's a great need and something that never goes away.
When you talk about the coaching and the people that you have in your life, I mean, obviously when... And maybe I'm wrong, but I think, you know, before we started recording, we're talking about our kids who are in athletics and they're high school aged. And do you think that, you know, a lot of people like kids at that age are going through some things, but they don't realize that they might have some, you know, amazing opportunities to connect if they just stop and listen and observe what's happening to tap into their potential and tap into their greatness?
Oh, without question. I mean, I think it happens at the high school level. It happens even with younger kids. It happens at believe it or not, the professional level. You know, it would blow your mind the number of professional athletes when I first meet them. I mean, they're at the highest level. They've already signed contracts with money that they'll never spend in a lifetime. And there's still seeds of doubt from pain they experienced as a kid. And they just were kind of left alone, so to speak, because they were so talented, they kept advancing. And until they realized the strength that actually comes from that deep-rooted underlying pain, that real strength, and they start connecting to it more, they don't even realize there is a next level. And so I see that at the professional level. I see that at the high school level. You see that in everything. And I just encourage anybody listening, don't run from your pain. Lean into your pain. You know, find a coach. Find that support system. If you have those fears, doubts, and uncertainties, like maybe have somebody help you figure out why. Because what I found is oftentimes our greatest strength comes from that pain. It comes from that challenge. And once you understand it and you can use it as fuel, that's when you understand how to attack your highest level of performance.
Is what you're talking about the same thing that Tim Grover refers to as your darkness, your dark side?
Well, I mean, it can come from different ways. You know, we had Tim is a dear, dear friend of mine, and we did a special day at our Puerto Rico boot camp this year to where it was Phil Heath, Tim Grover, and I, and we took everybody to the darkness. We literally blacked out this room. It was 30 people that decided to spend this extra day with us. I mean, it was literally like a movie theater. Like our team had to get people to their seats with flashlights. I mean, it was... And we talked about the darkness. So the darkness, yes, it can come from that, but it also doesn't come from that. It can be multifaceted. The darkness, like the real, real darkness that I don't know if we have enough time to get into that. But I think when somebody understands their deep darkness, they understand how to harness that pain or harness that anger. And I say harness because we see it all the time. People who don't understand how to deal with their darkness, that deep, dark side, and it comes out in the wrong ways. Right. But then a lot of times you see people, like if you knew my actual dark side, you'd say, man, I've never experienced that from Ben. I actually have, I'll share with you a dear friend who's part of one of our coaching groups. He and I share, he actually prays before the games for Kennedy. Every single game. And it's been this special thing that we do. And I was sharing with him like a dark moment that I had recently in relation to some things. And he's just like, man, he's like, that's what I like to hear from you. Like there is a dark side. But I share that story to say there's a dark side. And I shared it during our prayer yesterday. There's a dark side, but I've learned to contain it. Right. So think about the work and the conversations we've had, Ian. You're probably like, man, I don't see Ben as nasty, aggressive, vicious, but I know how to contain it. And there are some dark places that I go to help me elevate, coupled with even though I lost my mother so soon, the beauty of my mother's strength that she showed while she was dying before my eyes as a 7-year-old boy. So that has a darkness to it too, but that's more of a beauty. But then there's that dark side. So it's a combination. It's you and I both know as coaches, like, this is why people work with us for years and years and years, because these are not easy fixes. These are places you have to go to and work on and learn how to contain them and then put great disciplines in terms of mindset and action once you understand it on a daily basis.
I love that. And I'm so glad that you brought that up in terms of mindset, because I wanted to bring up a quote of yours, and you say that your success is not just about changing your habits, but it's about changing the way you think. And I think that is so integral in terms of how you set yourself up to cultivate the mindset that you need to succeed. But I was hoping you could unpack that a little bit.
So it's, you know, obviously the combination of both. There's a lot of people who say, I work really, really hard. Mm-hmm. I should be successful. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand that, yes, they work hard. They may have great habits, but they haven't worked on their mindset enough to know that when you get punched, when you get throttled, when you get hit, when that challenge and adversity strikes, they haven't worked on that mental muscle to understand, okay, I'm going to get up. So how important are your habits if you have mental weakness? And if your mental weakness is at such a significant level of weakness that you have an inability to take action during those times, well, then your habits don't matter as much. So to me, it's always been understanding it's a combination of both. It's not just your habits, it's your habits and your thinking. And you, when you bring the two of those together, we see the amazing stories of the Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans, your favorite athlete, your favorite, you know, entertainer, because they've embraced both. They realize it's not just one. It's not just working hard. It's understanding that mental toughness side. You bring those together, that's when you figure out what continual peak performance is.
Yeah. And this is a loaded question, but I have to ask, I would imagine that when you combine your habits with your mindset, then what you are creating is this. Right? Ben, I love this book. And I love what it's about. And ever since I heard you talk about the standard for the first time, I was like, that is the key to everything. Yeah. But what I've also found in, you know, going through your course and being able to talk to you and having conversations with you is that it's not just about, for me anyway, it's not just about the standard, but it's about the reasons that are driving your standard. Right. So many people talk about the why and they talk about the purpose, but you talk about the burn. And I've struggled with this. I've struggled to find out what is my burn? What is my why? What is my purpose? Because I thought I knew what it was, but it wasn't the right reason. You know, and until recently, where I think I've discovered that. Why, that purpose, that burn. And now I have that right reason to sustain the standard, which is from which everything else follows. And I love your mantra, if you will, of standard over feelings. And I was hoping that you could break that down for our viewers and listeners, because I love that. I have repeated that many times to people I've been coaching. And because that holds true as well, but.
Well, let me just share how exciting it's been for me to watch. And you were already doing great things when we met. I mean, you were already owning a fit body gym and you were already coaching and speaking and doing these things, but I've really seen you elevate since our coach to coaches program, which was, you know, after we had met at Amberlee's events. And I'll just share with you, and share with all the listeners, one of the things we encourage, you'll remember me saying this every week, you can only lead somebody to the level of discipline in which you live. And there's far too many people, whether we're leading in our homes, whether we're leading ourselves, whether we're leading others on a field or a court or in a boardroom, and our disciplines are out of whack. There are no standards, yet we're expecting people to follow. And so I encourage people to pay attention to those disciplines and to connect to the burn, which is that underlying fire that ignites your why and purpose, that causes you to show up on the days you don't feel like it, and especially after you win. Because when you think of that burn, there's no skipping days. There's no missing the standard. And so I found for me, I'm a 46-year-old man. My mother passed away at 38. So I've been given 8 extra years my mom never got. I'm going to choose to not waste a day. That's my burn. That's my fire, which doesn't make my life perfect. I have challenge, adversity. I've still got 2 coaches. I try to be the best dad I can be. I try to be the best husband I can be. I screw things up all the time. But I'm going to take ownership of that day and fight to that standard so I can look in the mirror and say, I gave it everything that I had. And when that becomes the standard, you understand discipline, connection to the burn, you start to recognize that the standard has to be more important than your feelings. And I always like to say, don't allow your feelings to dictate how you show up. So standard over feelings. It's allowing that standard to drive the story of your life as opposed to your feelings. If we all lived in our feelings, and some of you listening, you might be doing this right now, and that's okay. But coaches like Ian and I would encourage you, and he does all the time with his show and all the things he's doing, for you to not trip on anything that's behind you and for you to move forward. And one of the things I've noticed is you're on more stages now. You're doing more interviews now. You're being more consistent in your interviews, books. I mean, all these things that you're doing because you're connected on a deeper level, right? So then you are that example to where there's no doubt. Somebody could listen to your show and say, Ian lives discipline in his home. Ian lives discipline in his life. And that to me is the most meaningful thing, when it's not something we say to where you go, oh, I went through coach to coach, a standard over feelings. I love how that sounds. You've decided to do something about it in a life where you already were successful, and now you're elevating to the next level, which naturally causes people to be attracted to you and makes you the example to help them see more for themselves. It's the reason why I was able to stay at Alabama for 5 years and 2 national championships when Nick Saban interviewed me in his office in 2017. I mean, it's me and the GOAT, Ian, one-on-one, just interviewing me in his office.
Right.
And we talked about standard over feelings. And he knew that I understood the expectations they'd built at Alabama when I explained to him my belief in standard over feelings. And that one conversation, that one statement kept me there for 5 years. And so I believe for all of us, it's our standards that cause us to continue to rise, not succumbing to our feelings.
Right. Yeah. And there's another part that I think is integral into the standard and standard over feelings and doing the things on the days when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. And the way that you labeled this, at least for me in my mind, is the neutral mindset. And if you could just, in your words, describe what that means to you, having that neutral mindset.
Yeah, so the neutral mindset is not getting too high and not getting too low. And if you think of it in the heat of battle, right? So I do a lot of work in football, right? Collegiate football, professional football. I had the blessing of working, as I mentioned, for Saban for 5 years. I've been with the head coach at Kansas State for 11 years. I've been on the sideline with Coach Klieman for, I think we're knocking on the door of 150 games together, Ian. So if we frame this, so I'm on the sideline in the heat of the battle, working on this with the players, not where their feet are or their routes. I'm working on keeping their heads straight. So imagine a football game, and I want you, as you listen to this, even if you have nothing to do with the world of football in your life, I want you to think about the 24 hours you have in a day or the 10 hours you have in your workday. So break this down for where you are. So if we have a 60-minute game, that 60-minute game is broken down into one play at a time. So if in the first quarter, our quarterback drops back to pass. Let's say Avery Johnson drops back and hits Jace Brown for an 80-yard go route, and it's a beautiful touchdown. What are they going to celebrate, you know, until the game is over? No, like, we expect you to throw an 80-yard touchdown pass on a go route when both of you execute and the offensive line executes and the running back takes care of their blocks. And the other receivers, when we do our job, the expectation is, of course, we're going to have an explosive play. So we can't get too high in the moment to where you celebrate the one play for the rest of the game. You got the rest of the 60 minutes to play. And so a lot of times if we were on the sideline together, you'd hear me say, stay neutral, stay neutral, stay neutral. It's not that we're not going to say, hey, great play, give a fist pound, but that one play doesn't make up a game. There might be 100 offensive plays in that game. So if we stop because we make one good play, you're never going to complete the game and it's very hard to win. When you help athletes and business professionals stay neutral and lock into that one play, that one moment, if you're in sales, that one sales call, how often do we see somebody in sales to where their goal is, I'm going to make 20 phone calls a day. And I know if I do, I call them points of contact. If I do 20 points of contact a day, I know if I stack days like that, I'm going to have a huge pipeline and I'm going to win big. And then their first two calls of the day, Ian, and as many people as you and I coach, you know this to be true. The first couple phone calls, they have great success. They make, and they say, what do I need to do the other 18 for? Like, right. I'm on fire. I just closed two big deals.
Yeah.
They don't understand the neutral mindset. Mm-hmm. You have to complete the process of the full 20 to have the pipeline. Otherwise, you may not be met with disappointment in that day. Like, man, I had a great day. Look at what I closed. But I promise you next week when your pipeline is weak and you don't have that person to call or you haven't advanced that sale, you're going to feel that pain in a week or you're going to feel it in 2 weeks. And that's why we have to stay neutral through the course of a full game, through the course of a full workday, through the course of a workout. Our disciplines and everything we do, we have to stay neutral and keep attacking.
And that, to me, sounds like being relentless.
Without question.
Which is needed, which is, no pun intended, the standard of success, right? As you mentioned it.
It's choosing to do what needs to be done every day. And Ian, most people, they don't want to do it every day. And that's okay. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And you've heard me tell this joke before. I'm not for everybody. And I clearly know it. Some people are gonna be like, this dude wants to get after it every day. I want no part of that. I want rest. I want days off. I want to call in sick. I'm not saying that you can't live that life. That's fine. But you have to understand, you may have regret. You may never find out how great you can be. And I promise you, I'm not going to choose to live that way. Because I don't want regret, and I want to figure out how great we can be in this lifetime.
Right. It's time to ask yourself, when was the last time you prioritized you? Did you know that research shows that nearly 85% of high performers struggle to maintain a performance mindset while juggling the demands of work and personal life? Those who actively prioritize their performance mindset and personal growth are 30% more likely to achieve their goals in business and life. If you're feeling crippling stress and anxiety, or if you're feeling guilty when you take a moment for yourself, or if you're stuck in the grind and feeling burnt out, you're not alone. Many of us yearn for more, but struggle with the fear of being judged or feeling selfish. And you want to step into the next best version of yourself. That's why I created the Rinse Method, which got me from paraplegic to marathon runner. Backed by science-based proven strategies, and now customized for high performers like you. If you're stuck and stressed and want clear steps that you can implement today to move forward, make sure you visit thepositivepersistence.com to download our free Rinse PDF. Yeah. And that brings me to another phrase of yours and that I love, because this speaks so clearly to something that I agree with. And you talk about not trusting the process. The process. And a quote that you have here is, putting trust in the process is vague. And in my way of thinking, placing faith in your process gives you a much easier out when the process falls short. And I love that, because that speaks to a word that I don't let my clients say when we're working together, and that is try.
Mm.
Because for me, that word try is the next best thing to an excuse of why you can't
or yep. why
you won't. Which I think mirrors that same thought process of don't trust the process. You must attack the process and do everything in your power to make it happen.
I love that you're highlighting this, because this is one of those things to where you hear trust the process all the time, and it's just it's not enough. And when you really think about it, we live in a world now, Ian, to where it almost seems like people want to tell you how, everybody wants to tell you how great they want to be. But then when we have a conversation with their action, we figure out they don't want it that bad. Right. So if we only trust the process, it's all going to work out. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And that, you know, but I trust the process. But if you don't attack the process, you may never understand what it looks like to win a championship, because you have to trust that the process is right. But the attack piece, not the try, the attack piece is that when I trust, right? So if Nick Saban goes, here's how I know we can win. Okay. I, as a player, I trust what he says is true. But if I don't attack the process that he's given me to be the truth, how are we going to win another championship? So you have to attack the process. Trusting it is not enough. Otherwise, we're just saying words and we're missing the action.
Absolutely. And I know that our listeners and viewers know who you are, the levels that the circles that you run in. But I just want to remind everybody that all of the things that Ben is talking about here that is relating to football also relate to every aspect of life as well. Being in a relationship, being a business, being sports, but attacking the process. And this is for me specifically, even personally, attacking the process of being a good father. Because I know that you and I have connected offline talking about wanting to have wanted to have the acceptance of our father, for him just to say, good job. And I swore to myself that I was never going to be that dad. That the best things that I learned from my father are the ways not to be a father. And for many years, I did not attack the process of being a good dad, of being a good husband. And that came back to bite me, and I've learned my lesson. So I do not take your words lightly, and I don't only implement them in business or in working out. I mean, for me, they hit home, and they hit literally at home in being a father and a husband and a stepdad. So I thank you for those. Just wanted to mention that.
I appreciate you saying that, and I appreciated the courage and just the authenticity and vulnerability and messages and conversations we've shared about that. And I just encourage everybody, and you know that conversation came from me sharing and being transparent about the weakness of me wanting to seek my father's approval, right? So we share that in common. And I just encourage everybody listening, whatever it is that holds you back, if you share that with Ian and I, that it was seeking the approval of somebody who actually didn't need their approval, it was actually a deeper fight for something else, then don't wait as long as Ian and I have, right? Then lean in even further. Don't hold yourself back. Just let it go and go attack that in your life for the right reasons. Because for me, you know, I held on to that for far too long. I wouldn't change anything about my life or anything that's happened, and the pain I've experienced through it has made me who I am. But I would love for people to find it sooner rather than waiting too long.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ben, I know we're running close on time here, but I was hoping that you could talk to us about the four elements that you talk about in The Standard, one of many books that you've authored. But those four elements being belief, potential, action, and result, and why those four things are important.
Yeah, so belief, potential, action, and results really became the foundation, if you read the book, to creating what I call the four P's, which is on page 24 inside the book. And so that belief, potential, action, and result speaks to, we have to believe, we have to tap into our potential, we have to take the action, and then we have to get the results. And when you get those results, right, then it's not being seduced by the success of the result. It's repeating the pattern of continuing to believe in yourself, grabbing all that potential, taking the action. And it's a process. In researching all the years of us sharing those elements, watching people drive success, and then having the opportunity to write the book, The Standard, we developed the four P's, which for everybody, it's a 2-minute process. I can even I can even show you. For those listening, you won't be able to see it, but for those that that are watching, you'll be able to see. This is my one of my bookmarks. This is page 24 inside the book, The Standard. And there's four P's. There's the problem, the planning, the performance, and the payoff. And Ian, you and I, you know, as leaders, we can wake up and tell everybody it's Pollyanna and today we're going to ride around on a unicorn and slide down a bunch of rainbows and plant our feet to the sky and breathe really nicely and we're just going to be victorious. That's not success. Success is our ability to actually be real and say, hey, I'm currently like in the middle of a problem. I just walked out of a problem. I'm about to walk into a problem. Or the problem is I've been winning. And in the past, I haven't handled winning really well because I celebrate too long. I become seduced by success and I stop the patterns of behavior that cause the success. And so those four P's from the four elements you shared and all the research we've done, almost 20 years of doing this work, is that let's identify the problem every day, right? So Ian, you may say, we're winning at such a high level and you'll laugh and go, gosh, Ben and I have had these conversations. Like, I can't allow this to be a problem. So then the planning piece is, what is Ian going to do today to make sure that the success continues? So then this is simple. It takes a couple of minutes, right? Ian goes, the problem is we've been winning. The planning piece is I need to do these three things today. And if I do these three things today, momentum continues. And then the performance P, the third P is, it's simple. Ian just has to follow through and do those three things. It's not perfect. It may not generate a result that day, but it's going to create the continued momentum. And then the payoff, which is the fourth P, the payoff, and this is where a lot of people miss. Oh, that 80-yard touchdown, I'm going to celebrate the rest of the game, as opposed to saying the payoff is confirmation that the process is working. So if you take that Avery Johnson example to where Avery throws that ball to Jace in the first quarter, Avery may say, we found something in breaking down film. We found something in, like, I can't wait to run the next play and the next play and the next play, because that 80-yard touchdown confirmed that all the planning to get into that game worked and we were ready. So let's go attack the next play. Same for you. When you receive that result from doing those three things, it's not overly celebrating. It's choosing to not be seduced by success. And then that next day, identify the problem again, identify the planning, drive the performance, get a payoff, and we keep repeating that cycle over and over and over again. And that's how winning is done. It's the repetitive nature with grit and monotonous behaviors that cause continual success.
There it is. And now we go.
Now we go. Coming for everything, Ian.
That's right. Oh, man, I love that phrase too. Coming for everything. Well, Ben Newman, thank you so much for taking time to be on the Positive Persistence podcast. I know that our viewers and our listeners are going to get so much from listening to this and watching this. For those who don't know, where is the best place that they can find out more about you? Do you have any events coming up? What's going on in Ben Newman's life here?
You know, probably which has really brought us together, where we strengthened our relationship, was our Coach to Coaches program, where we really help people take more ownership of their life, their coaching, their leadership, their beliefs, where they want to go. And so the Coach to Coaches is a great website where people can learn about that. And simply to stay connected, which is how we were connected before we met at Amber Lee's event, is on social media. You're getting me. It's me on Instagram. It's me on X. It's at Continued Fight. And I look forward to staying connected with you and helping you win more in your life.
Well, Ben, again, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to thank all of our listeners and our viewers for doing the same. And remember how we always end our shows is, remember to stay positive, stay persistent, and know that mindset is everything. We'll see you next time.
Appreciate you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in and being part of the Positive Persistence family. We're having a great time creating this content, and we truly hope it inspires you to embrace positivity and persistence in your own journey. If this podcast episode inspired you or entertained you, scroll down, hit those stars, and leave a comment or two. Your 5-star reviews and shares encourage us and help us grow the show. So until next time, stay positive, stay persistent, and remember, mindset is everything.